I got two.
English. You got two of them, bitch?
Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. They just start without me. I just play the music till I catch up with them. Tell them what you're talking about. This is Greg Robinson and Lance Huey's here. They're both crappie fishing guides up here on Beaver Lake. And so we're all guides on Beaver Lake. And tell us what you got two of, Lance.
Oh, that's the Black Diamond 18 footer, and then I also had that Ambush. Too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so I got that.
It's still in the box. I ain't got it out yet.
But I haven't played mine yet either.
But
the Ambush one?
No. Yeah. The both of them. I haven't gotten them.
You had that Ambush rod here?
Yeah.
Like this summer, sometime.
Yeah.
We got them back last summer.
I'm wanting to play with it in shallower water. So it's coming. Right now, I'm fishing.
You know,
I was, yeah.
So when Lance uses a rod and reel, like the 18 footer, he gets to, with the 18 footer, he's going to have to put 30 foot of line in on it because right. 20 foot of it's going to be eaten up by rod.
Yeah.
See? So then with the Ambush, he can just put 10 foot of line on it, and that's why he needs that shallow water. So he can do 10 foot of line on his
end. Yeah, I mean, it's just that I don't want to fish that thing with the depth of water I was fishing in. So, but yeah,
and the Ambush is actually a telescoping rod that goes out to 24 foot, and it's the new design that they have from the Little Mighty. That they've moved B&M. On to the they've moved on to this, what is called the Ambush, and Coleman and them have re-looked at it and made it better. So they made a better design and made it so that it was more efficient, so it would telescope in and out quicker. And if it was wet, it would also work better. So that's what that's about, and that's what they're using it for. And so you said shallower water. Of course, we got a whole bunch of rain, so the lake's muddy, and actually Greg and I did a show about the muddy water, but we're bringing it back, and we're talking about crappie fishing in the stained water.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you'll be going back to that 8 foot and 4 foot.
Yeah, I've been fishing 26, 24 foot, fishing it down there 20 feet deep. Now
been glued to the bottom, haven't
you? Yeah, it's been, I don't like it, but that's the only place I've been finding fish. But now, you know, previous time years, I know exactly where I'm going. I'm going to Creek Arms, and I'm going to go to the back of them.
Right.
And I'm going to get, you know, I'm going to start probably halfway, and then work my way back. But, you know, until I find where they're at number-wise. But you think it'll probably be 12 foot first, and then I'll work my way to 8 foot, 6 foot. Just kind of depends on what that looks like in there.
Is there a temperature that you're looking for when that
happens?
I don't
ever pay attention to temp. I mean, like I'll wait till I like 50 degree water temp, you know. But with the mud now, it's coming in. I know those fish are probably going to go ahead and flush in there because everything else flushes in there. So I just know it's time to go in there and move in there. So to start fishing more creek arms at the main lake, like what I've been doing.
And so that water rushed into the creeks, but now in the back of the creeks, it might have
a little
tinkle of water coming in, but not really.
Yeah, probably about another week or so, it'll start clearing up.
It'll start clearing up in the back end of them. But
are those fish, do they position themselves around the timber so that if the creek's coming this way in, are they in the stumps here, are they on this side? Do they position themselves?
I don't really look at the stump. I mean, I don't ever fish stumps, but I mean, I could see where people think that. Yeah. I mean, I kind of look at the position of how like the bottom of the lake is, because I mean, and then I kind of see how they maybe be laying how the current goes.
In other words, where he's fishing, there's a couple of humps in there.
Yeah.
And though with the water current coming in from the east,
right?
Yeah, you know, where he's talking about fishing, they'll be on that west side of that hump.
Yeah.
They get a little bit of protection from that current.
So it's a little
because
deeper,
current's
too.
Not a, crappie's not a big current fish.
No.
So they like to be kind of out of that current. So you get those humps and them little old deep ditch lines, they'll get on the back sides of those
and lay
the steeper part of that bank, and they'll just stack up.
Yeah.
And that's what he's doing.
That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm trying to say. It's like how the bottom of the lake is and how the water's coming in. I'm looking to see how that contour is, and I'll fish that side of the contour.
Right. If you got like a little bit of a point to come out, they'll be on that back side of that.
You know, it could be if the creek's running this way and water's coming this way, I'll fish on this side of it to stay out because they're out of the creek arm. That makes sense. You know, the water's coming this way, I'll fish on this because they'll be out. That bank kind of blocks.
Get off to the side or on the back side of it.
Yeah.
There's new some brush up in those creeks now, isn't there?
Yeah. I mean, they got in there. They started getting there last year, and I marked it all. And now there's probably going to be some new, probably hay bales is what I heard, probably moving in there too. So.
Hay bales. What do you fish? Hay bales. That's going to be the name of my article. Fishing hay bales.
How long it's going to take for that to deteriorate?
I don't know. Man, that's just crazy. Imagine?
You know, it used to be a bale of hay down here on this little small island.
Yeah,
Here it is down there.
Just stay there.
Forever.
Can't leave once it's full. It's like a diaper. Once it's filled full of water, a diaper ain't moving.
Yeah. But, I mean, with LiveScope, I'm able to see it now, and I'm like, oh, well, we need to reel up. Or, you know, I kind of got it all marked from what Game and Fish has put in over the past year or two. But the new stuff flushing in, I'll be like, oh, I didn't know that was there. So
might be a log or two.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was rolling.
Yeah.
It was up to 19 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And so it went from 11-12 to 11.
Yeah.
11.
That's 11-17 now. 17 probably.
Now.
Yeah.
After the show, we get to go move the boat dock. So that's the only reason why I got him here. So I got some free labor to move the boat dock.
Yeah.
So as far as like minnows go, are you changing the size of your minnows because the water's staying?
I mean, it might be upsize. I mean, I'll experiment. I mean, I might put a bigger profile minnow on there, but it just seems like it's still always a smaller minnow, medium size. But I'll put a bigger one on there for profile, you know. And I might try to put some color jigs on there, you know, like a black chartreuse.
You're not going to color your minnow?
No, that's too much effort and all that crap. I ain't doing that. No, that's just too much. But I'll put a jig on there of, you know, some bright black chartreuse or black and pink, something, you know.
You're getting in this stained water, though, in this muddy water. You need to get you a bottle of slab jam.
Yeah, don't get me on that.
Squirt it on your hand.
Don't get me on that story.
It will work.
I know it will. You sneaking up on me, did
that? Are you gonna do some spider rigging this year?
That
big vessel of yours?
Yeah.
When you take people out guiding, do you take them out spider rigging too?
I do some. I didn't do much last year, did you? But depends a lot upon the customers and who I have.
But you yourself, if you were just going out there to search for them, would you do that or would you single pole them?
I have a tendency to go for the single pole, but if I'm by myself, instead of doing all the spider, enjoy the spider rigging. But
it's an efficient way of catching.
I need to.
Catching.
I need to do it a couple of times by just me fishing because now that I got the copy breaks.
Yeah.
The Garmin trolling motor on my boat is so powerful on the 36-volt system that I can't go. I mean, about half a mile an hour is about as slow as it goes.
Really?
Yeah.
In that big old boat you got?
Yeah, it'll move it 1.4.
It moves too fast.
It moves pretty fast. It does. It moves too fast. And I'm constantly, having to shut it off and then just figure out, hopefully it's going to be about right when it gets to the fish, you know, as the baits start to settle down. And I'm thinking now that with me having the brakes that I can just put it on the lowest setting and keep it going. And as I see fish, I can just start bumping
back.
Yeah, or even shut my tow motor off and push it forward and backwards.
Right.
My back of my boat. So it's something I'm going to have to play with and see what, you know, it's going to work the best.
Your rig, you using the same rig that Lance is using then?
Yes.
Same kind of setup?
In fact,
I tie him up.
As fast as I go, as fast as my boat, if I hadn't got the copy brakes.
Power brakes.
Power brakes. I was to the point of getting with him and seeing if maybe I need to just go with the heavier bait.
Heavier the whole time.
Yeah, just do 1 ounce.
Put the power troll rods instead of the PBJs and go with the 1/2 ounce rather than into where I can control that bait better than what.
Because it'll drop down faster. And you do better at 0.5 if that's as low as your boat could go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 1 ounce would probably be better for you.
Because he and I both fished out of mine spider rigging, and it's
you can just see his line.
Constantly,
like, as far as you go, you know.
I'm constantly having to work. Now, if I can get a little bit of wind, it's not bad.
Yeah.
Because if I can go into that wind, it's perfect then.
Yeah.
But, man, if it's not very windy and
like
the lowest setting on my tow motor.
Really?
I don't go very far, and I'm running a 1/2 mile an hour.
That's cooking.
Yeah.
So the deal with the swing is you don't want it to swing.
Want it to come back underneath the boat.
Right. Underneath the boat. But what is there a distance that's still from not straight down? Is there a distance it can still swing back and catch fish?
Yeah, can.
What you're saying,
if
I talk to him and he's out there fishing and I'm over here fishing.
Right.
And he's running, say he's running 12 feet of line.
Right.
I've got to run 14.
Yeah.
Because with the speed of my boat,
it
pulls that back and lifts that up. There's a big difference. So
also a change of angle, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
you got one minnow that's here, and then the other one's kind of like
right
back here. So, yeah it's definitely.
If you're the bottom minnow, you're always looking at the. You're always looking at that front minnow thinking, I hope that crappie eats it. Is that what you...
Yeah. It's funny watching them come up, though. They'll sit there and look at that bottom end, and then they'll be turning the nose up. Top one's about to get hit.
Yep.
Maybe we should be throwing double rigs out there at those roamers.
I've tried it, but I like to just do the one jig.
I've only scared them every time I've done that.
Yeah, it seems like it's just almost too much. I don't know. I haven't done good with a double jig.
Yeah. I went in Piney the other day and did a double jig.
I used to do double jigs all the time around pole timber.
I've done that. We've done deals on them.
Yeah. But I've just got to where I just do the one.
The trouble is, you're always like, that one's the one that they're going to bite when you can see it, back in the day.
Exactly.
And you're like, you always drop it to there, and you never, you don't drop it below them because
scatter. And also, too, back in the day when we did do double rigs, we did the double rig to get the extra weight to get it out there and get down. If you stop and think about it, if they were hitting a 32nd ounce jig the best, we'd put two of them on so we could pitch it out there and get it down there or go with 2/16. Now we just do an 1/8 or a 1/16 and peg a sinker above it. And we pitch it 30 feet and stick it on their nose. it's just so much different than it used to be.
Well, that takes us to Tackle Time. Tackle Time sponsored by Pico Lures. And, of course, Lance makes a lot of his homemade double drop minnow rigs from Vanguard Tackle, which is part of Pico Lures. You can find them online, the whole kit and caboodle. You can also check out the articles that I've written about Lance that's on crappie.com that talk about how to tie that rig. So if you're interested in doing that, you can see it there and check that out. But anyway, they have a complete line of hard and soft baits and everything you can imagine to catch walleye to stripers to crappie to bass, you name it, they got it. If they want to find out more, Greg, about going out fishing with you, who do they get in touch with?
Facebook, Greg's Guide Service, or call me at 479-601-1683.
Lance Huey or Lance Huey Crappie Guide Service on Facebook, or you can just call me, 479-236-4105.
There you go. Like I always like to end the show, make sure you keep your hook sharp, your lures in the water.